to be real, to be relational, and to be relevant. Throw away the religious stuff. That to me is the most precious thing, that we can be real when we go through hard times. And then somehow we connect with Christ and with each other. We kind of like, yeah, it was yucky, but I got another day and I can live with hope. And I'm going to follow on from Melanie, part one of everyone gets to play, what's your position? Now, that simple thing was done by Holly. It's simple to Holly, but I wouldn't have come up with that. I don't know how to do that. So the simplicity of it is, what's the game plan? All right. I'm going to get you to get into a grid of, if you ever play a team game or you have worked with a team, all right, that's the grid we're going with, all right? So the question is, what's the game plan? Is basically, what is God's plan? What has God put us in that we need to function from, all right? I simply say that Holly can do that, I can't, which basically is saying she can do so much better in certain things, and maybe I can do certain things that Holly maybe cannot do. So there's a deferring of gifts. And so I would be stupid to try to do everything when I know Holly can do so well in it. All right? And all of you have certain things that I don't know how to do. All right? So next one, please. I don't have the clicker. All right. So God's plan has always to put us in a team. All right? In the old days, obviously, you know, we don't know what kind of games they play and all that, but I think the Roman and Greek do have games, all right? So there's an understanding of it. But Paul uses the analogy of the body, all right, which we all could relate, because that's the eternal truth, which means even if you don't play games, you're kind of like, yeah, I got this little pinky. You know, if somebody step on this little pinky, I'm not very happy. You know what I mean? So we could relate to that, because everybody normally have a body, if you are alive anyway, okay? So God's game plan is always that he put us together so somehow each of us will achieve more. It's always like that. It's multiplication. It's not additional. It's exponential. You know, one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000. All right? That's the way God works. Next one, please. So I don't have the clicker. So who's clicking? Yeah, dream team. So some of you have played sport. Melanie mentioned about soccer. I used to play a lot of team sports. Volleyball, V for volleyball. Hockey, rugby, you know. So with every team, every players have a position. So in rugby, you've got small people, you've got big people like Angus. So Angus will play forward, all right? He's the one that bash, 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 and then they pass to a little guy like me, and I'm shoo, shoo, and then you got the winger, all right? Winger would probably be like Josh or Eddie. You know, they get the ball. Can you see within the 15 players, you got very big, very tall, and those small ones that they can, you know, they're agile, they run around and things like that. But it's all, it depends on interdependence, all right? If someone like Neil say, hey, I'm the VIP, you know what VIP? I think so. Something like that. All right, something like that. If Neil, like, okay, out of the 15, I say, I'm the man. He's not a man because he doesn't, sorry, he's a man, but he doesn't make up the team. You got it? All right? So God put us in a team and say, hey, no independency here. You learn to be interdependent. All we have is dependency of God. And then you put together, this is where it's hard, all right, you sit next to someone and like, I don't like that person. How do I connect? So that's where the relationship part works in. That's the real part, like, I don't even like the guy next to me. You know, how are we going to play nice together? But everybody gets to play, all right? What's your position? All right, so the dream team is we all know our position, we all know our strength, but we also acknowledge the differences of strength. A striker know how to kick the goal, all right? But a striker, they also need the goalie to protect, all right? He can kick 10 goals, and then the goalie is so el chipo, 11 goals in, you still can't win the game, all right? So you understand the concept. Even if you don't play in team, I don't know about netball, but I'm sure the shooter is a bit taller than the rest, you know, those kind of thing. All right, next one. All right. You know, church can be like a hospital. It can be like a school. It can be like an army. All right? Those are the things that we have to understand when we are put together, when someone come in, someone needs help. Not everyone can help, but everyone can offer support. There will be a couple of specialists that, okay, I just know what to do. Like with this one, I tried to wrap it myself, which I thought it was pretty good, until Maria like, I can do better. All right? She can, because she's a nurse. You know, so it's recognizing it, the team, the dream team, God's team, is always synergy. We have the unity of the Spirit. That's synergy. Synergy of skills. All right? The skills that we have, it's not just personality, natural. It's actually God-given grace gift, which we're going to unpack. So this is where I get somebody else who can read English better than me. If, next one, please. I think it's next one. Yeah. If you can read with Eve, just to encourage her. Come on, Eve. You get that. All right. Yep. So if you can read with Eve. So what I want to do is look at a portion of Scripture and get us to meditate together and draw out what is relevant for us. Go, Eve.
Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God.
Come on, you need to do a teamwork here. Help, Eve.
How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable sexual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted, assigned to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly, with different measure of faith. So we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly, with different measures of faith. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives or contributes with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor.
Thanks, Eve. Cheerful Eve. Now, okay. All right. So if you guys know where the passage is, I want you to imagine I'm going to Indonesia mid-July, all right? This is a logical way of thinking, all right? Romans was not planted by any of the apostles. Paul didn't even visit it before the church plant, so nobody know who did it, all right? I didn't do that. But Paul felt responsible that this church plant had planted, all right? So I'm saying logically, if you think through with me, this group of people received this letter, and from Romans 1 to 11, it was basically Paul saying, hey, I know what I'm talking about. This is the whole theory or suggestion or thesis of why you need to believe in the gospel of Christ. Can we go to the next one, please? All right. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man or woman shall live by faith. So for 1 to 11, Paul is basically unpacking why the gospel of Christ, you need to believe in it, all right? So I'm just giving you a quick summary, but I want to look at the passage we're going to look at, all right? This is a group of people that have no contact with the Jerusalem church. So somehow we don't know who started it, all right? So Paul like, hey, you know, somebody probably because Paul was in jail. Have you heard that, you know, somebody just started a church in Rome, you know? And, you know, is it kosher? You know, did the Jews apostle started it? You know, so there was a Hellenistic Jew, which means Jews that adopted Greek culture and Roman and all that. Okay. So I'm saying, if I send this to a village in Lombok, who doesn't have the rest of the Bible, all right? So Paul was very precise in what he writes, okay? Let's look at the next one. So we're just going to unpack it. So after 1 to 11, Paul always do that, okay? If you look at his letter, he just write, then he couldn't help himself. He's like, oh, God is so good, you know, out of the depth of riches, you know, da-da-da. So he just bursts out in praise. So it is in that praise of understanding God is God and we not. And then Paul goes into 12. So 12 to 16 is, how do you live what you have believed? Paul is now saying, okay, from Romans 1 to 11, I'm telling you why you need to believe this. Now, if you really believe in it, now this is how you're going to live out. So the word therefore then is, for this very reason that I've argued and presented the gospel to you, all right, now you need to do this. So therefore, I urge you, all right, logically plead with you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. So you just unpack the mercy of God that you are saved by grace, the Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and you're going to be co-heirs with Christ and all that stuff. Lots and lots of stuff. So now it's basically the practical part. So I'm asking you to think about it, okay? The village in Lombok just received this. Therefore, I urge you, all right? Basically, you want to be in God's team? You want to be in God's team? No one wants to be? Who wants to be in God's team? Okay, if you want to be in God's team, this is how you're going to do it. You present your bodies as a living, holy sacrifice, accepted to God. All right? Which is your reasonable, logical service of worship. So Paul is presenting an argument and saying, let's reason together. If God has done all that in chapter 1 to 11, this is should be your response. Don't you think it's reasonable? Don't you think it's logical? Paul is basically, you know, the least you can do is present your whole body. All that you are and hope to be and want to be, present it to God. Because God is God and you're not. He knows the game plan for you. All right? And he knows what position you can play. You know, if you're too small, don't play forward. You get crunched. You know what I mean? If you're not a fast runner, don't play wing. Isn't it, Eddie? You know, wings always, as far as I know, they can run fast. You know, they can, yeah. So that's God's game plan. And Paul is presenting and saying, okay, you need to put up your hand and say, yep, Lord, I want to be in your team. All in, you know, no half-hearted, all in. And then when you're all in, this is the way you worship God. So this is how we're going to play and worship God and glorify God. So if you want to worship God, no worldly patterns, please. World and worship completely different. The game plan is if you want to use the world thing, not going to work. All right? So we go to worship. How do we worship? Get your mind renewed. All right? The mind not represent just the brain. A lot of time the Greek and the Hebrew is everything that's inside is internal. So the mind, soul, heart, very time to talk about it. All right? So basically, no worldly values, no worldly pattern of playing, now worship. Get your mind renewed. Once you renew, you will know God's game plan, because you will prove that God's will for you is very, very good, and it's acceptable to God and you, and it's perfect. He got a perfect game plan for you. So if you want to play with the worldly style, worldly pattern, you're not going to get it. In fact, when you give to God, he's going to renovate everything inside you and transform you so much that you become not a caterpillar, but a beautiful butterfly. That's the kind of transformation inside out. You can't use a worm and stick two wings and make a butterfly, can you? I have tried. It doesn't work, all right? So you have to go through that stages of transformation, what we call sanctification. So you offer yourself once as a burnt offering, but the process of continuing, that's how it works. All right, you laugh. That's good. Next one. All right, God's game plan. All right. Once you are in God's game, God's team, don't think of yourself too highly, because there's always someone better than you. There's always someone less. So whatever it is, if you compare, that's not God's plan. If you compete, why compete? You are in the same team. So just know who you are. And how you know who you are is in the light of who God is. If you know who God is, and you kind of like, okay, he's God. He knows how to make me. You know, I'm 5'5", compared to Simon, Angus, Josh, Eddie, I'm a little man. Even Gavin, you know. But I can do stuff that you guys can't do because I can bend down more than you, you know. You know what I mean? So the reality is like, wow, I like Angus, you know. I like to walk with Angus in the street where it's not very safe, you know. He's my bodyguard, you know. So little things like that, you kind of suddenly accept yourself. You like yourself, and you be yourself. You're kind of like, good, all right? Now, this is what I want to point out. Each player, each member is allotted a measure of faith. Allotted means this whole group got 100% faith, but Neil got 10. Maria is so powerful, she has only 5. You know, and then Zedekiah got 50. You know what I mean? That's what God is allotted, all right? It's when we come together, we have the full measure of faith. I know I haven't heard this kind of teaching, but go with me in the logic of what Paul is saying, all right? He's saying, for the grace given to me. So Paul says, it's not by authority that I'm saying this to you. It's actually a gift, charis, God gave to me. And it is in grace I'm saying this to you. I'm not saying this because I know everything. I'm saying it is because out of grace of God, do not think of yourself too highly. So the sober judgment is the same word of the sound mind when we are moved by the Spirit of Christ. All right? So it's a measure of faith each is allotted. All right? So then we say, okay, we are put in a team. I already worked that out. We kind of accept, like, we can't work independently. And then you go down. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So we got different portion of faith. But now it says, all right, if you can run fast, it's not because you are that good. I just give you a bit of running superpower there. All right? If you can prophesy, not because you suddenly have a mouthpiece like Moses. Actually, Moses say he can't speak well. All right? It's because the grace of God is in you. So each of us got different measure of faith and different grace gift. All right? Next one. All right. So then we start unpacking. All right? So we are in the village, Lombok. All you receive this. Now, out of that 7, there's no pastor there. Is there? There's no pastor. There's no apostle. There's no evangelist. So logically, I'm trying to say, with that 7 gifts, you can actually run a church. And leadership wasn't on top. All right? So I would submit the argument that all this gift needs your measure of faith. Because we're called to live by faith. So when you serve, you actually serve by the measure of faith. All right? I mean, Melanie said she has a horrendous week. Most of you know Melanie. She's just superwoman. You know, she can take things that I like quarter of it, you know. Because her measure of faith in hard situation just blows my mind. And then she come back with hope, you know. So that's what I'm saying. Different measure of faith, differing grace, all right. So to me, then, this 7 thing, you can look at Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. But thing is, like I say, Paul wrote this to Rome. And Rome has no other letters. They don't have a Bible to say, yeah, Ephesians say this, or 1 Peter say this, 1 Timothy. You know, what about eldership? Eldership is not there. All right? So this is a game plan. 7 position. Different measure of faith. So different measure of faith with the same gift means some people will play different way. All right? Some will be just benched. And they're just super sub. We have super sub that 5-10 minutes, they just come in and they score the goal. The rest have worked hard, you know, the whole game, and they just, you know what I mean? So those kind of things is variable, but it's real. It's reasonable. So prophet, I'm going to unpack that next week because this is too much. So what you need to know is this is not personality. I know, again, I hear different argument and all that. But this is when you're a new creation. When you're a new creation. Because Paul's argument is, you are a new creation. Now you give yourself to God, you're going to have a measure of faith. So this measure of faith is not salvation. You're already saved. You're already saved and say, nah, I'm going to dedicate my life all for God. All in. All right? And then from that, logically, God say, okay, if you're all in, This is the mystery of faith. All right? How many of you can be Billy Graham? John Wimber. All right? So when John say everybody can play, John also implying you can't be me because I'm only one John Wimber. There's only one Billy Graham. So we need to look at it realistically and say, I'm okay. I don't want to be John Wimber. You know what I mean? The trouble you go through, the persecution and all that, you know? You know what I'm saying? But one of you might be someone that will influence the world. That's a possibility. But the ground teamwork is here. All right? So the prophet, if you want to consider it, a lot of the gifting is actually round table. There's no hierarchy. Even if you look at Ephesians 4, a lot of people put apostle first. Really? You know, if I need coffee, I don't need a prophet to do it for me. You know what I mean? I prophesy you will get a mocha. Doesn't work. You know, you just need someone humble like Ellie and say, okay, you want mocha? I'll make you mocha. You know what I mean? Those are the reality we don't understand. But you need to bring all in. If not, the team doesn't work. So we need exhorter. You know, I'm not one. All right? All right? Teaching, you know, you need someone like Simon who can dig out the scripture, someone like Neil, you know, and they can go through it, work it out, you know. But the show of mercy, you know, contribution. The church need money, so we need contribution. All right? All right, last one. All right. So something different. So imagine, like, say, you're in Lombok, all right, this is Peter now coming in, and each of you have received, give, employ in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God again. Without grace, grace is charis, and then charismata is give. Without grace, there's no give. Without give, there's no real function the way God wants it in faith. So whoever speaks as one who is speaking the utterance of God, again, the dependence of God, whoever serves as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, again, total dependence God, so that in all things God may be glorified. So when we kick goal for God, God gets the glory because He is our boss. He's the one that gives you the faith. He's the one that gives you the grace gift. So He gets the glory when we kick the goal. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.